Let's turn in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 40. Exodus 25, whole chapter, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of our gracious and merciful God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold, and silver, and brass, and blue, and the purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark of the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work. Shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another. Toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubims. Which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and 1 cubit the breadth thereof, and 1 cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of 1 handbreadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof, to cover withal. Of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me alway. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it. 3 branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds, with the knop and a flower in 1 branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds and the other branch, with a knop and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. Those are God's words. Well, this chapter calls for the building of the tabernacle, or the tent of meeting. And that is, of course, where the focus of worship was for the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. So here they are at Mount Sinai, and he's now giving them instructions on worship. Through the first nine verses, the Lord calls for the voluntary giving for the building of this tent of meeting and tabernacle, for Jehovah to dwell among them, to worship Him. And then through verse 22, the particular instructions concerning the construction of the Ark of the Covenant. Above the Ark is to be the mercy seat, which covers the Ark, which is the very throne of God, or at least foreshadowed or symbolized. And there we are pointed to the propitiation of Jesus Christ by His blood, as it was foreshadowed, as the high priest came in once a year and sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat there on the Day of Atonement. And then the table of showbread through verse 30. That's from Leviticus 24. We know that the laying out of the showbread every Sabbath was a symbol of the everlasting covenant, serving as a pledge of Israel's faithfulness to the covenant between them and the Lord. And then the remaining verses concerning the candlestick or the lampstand that signifies life, the life of God's people. That's why Revelation speaks of the snuffing out of the lampstands or churches where there is no more life in congregations. They're snuffed out by the Lord, in which we acknowledge that it's the Lord who grants life to His people. And in the whole of the chapter, it concludes with verse 40, which says, "And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount," that is, in the Mount Sinai, which is where they're at now. And this is quoted again in Hebrews 8, verse 5, arguing that the offerings brought to the tabernacle are merely shadows and copies of the heavenly things. And so also that the tabernacle itself is to be constructed by Israel was a mere model of the heavenly tabernacle. What's in heaven? And so Christ, once for all sacrifice for His people, offered as the great high priest, does away with the earthly tabernacle, what is being described here, which serves to confirm that there is also a heavenly sanctuary, a heavenly tabernacle where Jehovah dwells and where we worship this very day, as our hearts are lifted up unto Him in heaven, as Hebrews describes it. This earthly tabernacle that's talked about here in chapter 25, designed after the heavenly one. And so, beloved, praise the Lord, we have a greater mediator in Jesus Christ, of a better covenant, in which we now worship before the presence of the Lord, before the very mercy seat, His throne, in heaven spiritually. Instead of having to go to a physical tent or temple or tabernacle in Jerusalem every year or wherever it was in the wilderness as they journeyed. We worship the Lord in His very presence today in glory. Praise the Lord. That's the message really of Hebrews, or part of the message of Hebrews, that we worship the Lord before His throne now. And praise the Lord for that.
Let's pray.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a great privilege we have. Not because we deserve it, but because You have brought us about to worship You at this time, after Christ's death and resurrection, in which we have Your Word, which declares to us the truth that we gather before You, the living and true God, and with the great general assembly and the myriads of angels and the saints who've been made perfect now, today, of which we remember that we come before You, the God, as we look back in the past couple of chapters, we come before You, the God who is the God of consuming fire. And so we know, as we come before Your presence and before Your throne, that You are the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And how dare we come as sinners to Your presence? And so, Father, we plead that You would turn us in our hearts to grieving over our sins and true repentance. That You would cause us to mourn over our sins. That even we committed, knowing full well that we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins on the cross. Knowing He died, and yet still we continue in sin. And yet, Father, we're thankful that You're also a merciful God in Christ Your Son. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace. There, the mercy seat, where You dwell in heaven, of which we have described here a picture of what heaven is like and what worship is like, a little bit, as much as You speak to us as if we were babies to understand it. That there is a covenant between us and You. And You are faithful to keep that covenant and all Your promises in Christ Your Son through His body sacrifice and His bloodshed. And Father, we pray and plead that You would make us to be faithful to that covenant, to be obedient unto You in all Your law and all Your commandments, lest we sin against You more, that grace may abound. And we're thankful for Your grace. We're thankful that it covers a multitude of sins. And we're thankful that You're the God who pardons, abundantly pardons, all of our sins in Christ Your Son. And yet, Father, we plead that You would not make us to come too easily before Your holy throne. For how specific You are, in particular, You are a God who is jealous for true worship of Your people according to Your Word. And so, Father, forgive us even now of our sin in worshiping You in the wrong way and in worshiping You with hearts that are not full of a desire to please You and worship You according to Your Word. Hearts that are not filled with joy over Your grace and in Christ the gospel, and hearts that are not also full of grieving over our sin against You. Now, Father, we plead that You would be continually merciful and gracious to us as You promise You are. For You are full of covenant love, covenant mercy and faithfulness to generations of Your people. So, Father, help us to see with the eyes of our heart how we come before Your throne now to worship You through the blood of Christ, who makes a way by His sacrifice to tear down the curtain from top to bottom, the dividing wall, that we can not only enter into the holy place where there is that candlestick and where is that showbread and the table, but we are allowed by Your mercy and grace through through Christ to come into the very Holy of Holies before your throne and mercy seat. What a great privilege that those in the Old Testament did not have. They only had it foreshadowed. And in cloudiness. But we're thankful now that the mystery has been revealed. That through Christ, our High Priest, in union with Him, we are able with Him to come to worship You. Father, we pray and ask for Your help today as we consider the many prayer requests that we have and the many that are on our hearts and minds for ourselves and our loved ones. We pray that You would answer our prayers according to Your will. Do pray especially for Audrey. You would heal her body and grant her strength. Pray also they would be able to be here this evening, if that be Your will. And Father, I pray that You would comfort them in their sorrow. And as we pray that You'll comfort all mothers who have lost children and families who have lost children and grandchildren. And Father, we thank You that You're the God who is sovereign over all things, even the number of our days, even if they be very few and only in the womb. You've numbered our days. And we're thankful for this, and we praise Your name, as hard as that is to do. We praise You, and we're thankful that You have given Michael and Audrey now two children that are in Your hands. We pray that You'll bless all the children, the covenant children of Your people, and grant more life and more blessing to this congregation. Father, we do pray for the health of those who are not feeling well today. Pray for Ezekiel, who's not feeling well, and any others, Deborah and John and Lillian and the girls who might not be feeling well. And strengthen them, Father. Help them with their bodies. And praise You that Patricia's feeling better. And the solution was much simpler than perhaps first thought. And we're thankful for Your providence and Your grace in that. Father, we're thankful that You are the God who heals our bodies. You're the healer of bodies. And so we pray that You would strengthen us to worship You, strengthen us to serve You, as weak and frail as our bodies are. And protect us from illness and sickness, Father, if that be Your will. Father, we also pray for our souls, that You would strengthen us in our souls and sanctify us, that is, cleanse us of our sins and wash us by the blood of Christ in the pure milk of the Word. And give us not only milk, but the meat that we need, the solid food, that we'd move on in our knowledge and understanding, but also wisdom of who You are and what You demand of us as our Creator. Father, we pray for this nation which is wicked and is coming and will come under greater judgments because of the wickedness that we find in our nation, the killing of children, the sexual perversions that we see run rampant throughout and encouraged by our nation's leaders and citizens. Father, we pray that You would bring us as a nation to a point of repentance, of coming unto You, the living and true God, and pleading that You would pardon our sins and turn us to your word. We plead that you would cause the leaders of this nation to lead in that way and to covenant with Christ and promise that this nation would be a Christ-exalting nation, and that we, as the church, would be those who proclaim boldly and faithfully the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray for those churches who have gone astray and turned from that way and rather become entertainment centers and become much like the world. We pray that you would turn them back to you, the living and true God, that they would be and have one mission of that great commission to proclaim Jesus Christ and teaching all your commandments, all that you've written and wrote down and spoken to us. That we would teach that to our children and to our neighbors and the world, even the heathen. And that you would call all sinners to yourself. And those who are your elect, you would bring to yourself by your Spirit. We rely completely upon you and your sovereign grace and mercy. And Father, we pray that you would humble ourselves before your throne and grant soon, if it be your will, that we would grow to such a number that we'd be able to plant a church, that we could help and serve another community in bringing the gospel to bear, that many would hear and believe on Jesus, your Son, for their salvation. And any here who don't know you, that you would turn them to yourself today. And you would grant life in their heart. And then those who are lost would be found. Those who are blind would see the King and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.